I want to talk about love, how you can share your love. Chapter 6 is written to the church at Galatia. It's written to church members. It's written in a way that I think we Baptists are not good at practicing love. It's been my general observation over the life of my ministry is that we're good about enthusiasm. We're good about obeying the Bible and secondary things. But maybe it's just me. I have not sensed the genuine, heartfelt love that I believe Christians should have for other Christians. We tend to say, if someone's in trouble, well, I'll pray for you. And we may do it, and we may not do it, or if we do it just occasionally, but we do not intercede for individuals. If you love somebody, you'll go out of your way to help them, serve them, do what you can, do what you can to help them. That is really the demonstration of what Christ did when he left heaven and came to this earth. He demonstrated his genuine love for you and I. Our love is more than just talk. It's an affection that we show. Any church member can be overrun by sin. Sometimes, and what is this particular verse is talking about? Being surprised by our disobedience. Sometimes sin sneaks up on us and we react in a sinful way, not in a premeditated way, but in a just in a spontaneous type way. And it's not premeditated. It's part of our human nature. It's part of this sin nature that we have that our parents passed on to us. But we need to understand that love can conquer a multitude of sins. And love overrides the guilt and the wrongdoings of others. None of us are perfect. But yet, if we're fortunate, we have a few people who will love us. It would be better if we had a whole church that would love us, and that we would care for one another, and that we would show that not only in our words, but in our prayers behind the scenes, that we would intervene for someone, that we would ask for God's leadership and guidance in their lives and protection, that he would watch over them and take care of them. Any church member could have, quote, catastrophes in their lives. The second thing I want us to see is that every church member is responsible to help one another overtaken with the right spirit. Excuse me. Not with a haughty spirit, but with a loving spirit. A spirit that will forgive and forget the wrongdoings of others. We all mess up. We all sin. We all hurt other people. That's part of our nature. It may not be intentional. Sometimes it may be intentional. But vengeance or revenge belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you and I. So when someone treats us wrong, we are not to see what we can do to hurt them, but actually forgive them and pray for them and sincerely pray for them. Not just, Lord, bless them and take care of them, but pray for them that they can overcome whatever situation it is in their life. I want to share with you a number of scriptures. That in verse number 2, says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Chapter 5 and verse 13 of this same book says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. The world may betray its being as a dog-eat-dog world. Do unto others before they do unto you. But that's not the Lord's way. When I reflect upon the Lord's goodness to me and all the stupid things that I've done, all the little sins and the big sins that I've committed, He still loves me. And He cares for me. And He cares for each one of His children. Because He has that genuine love for us, to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, that we might be an example of His love where we walk. Chapter 5 of verse 22 in this same book says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not only love, but joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Two words in that just helps reinforces what I want to say to myself. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The words that's in my mouth is, we can put up with somebody's wrongdoings. And they may hurt us, they may continually hurt us, but we can be long-suffering. And the other word that stands out to me is self-control. We control ourselves. We are responsible for ourselves. Sometimes we have some very strange thoughts, some very hurtful thoughts, but our actions do not have to reflect those carnal thoughts. We can demonstrate love. And we Baptists, I've said it earlier today and I'll say it again, we tend to, my opinion, not love like we should, like the example that Christ gave us. But we are to, every church member is responsible to help another church member. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 puts it this way, and above all things have a fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I love my kids. They're not perfect. Sometimes I want to wring their neck, even though they're old. I don't always agree with them. Then sometimes I think, did I teach them that? And sometimes I say, no, I didn't teach them that. That's them all by themselves. But I love my kids. That's pretty big statement when you have to look up to your son, you know, like that. Don't always agree with what he does. He's not on the same political page as his mom and I. I could shoot him every election. I still love him. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, Jesus speaking says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus is telling his disciples that they are to love one another. Were they perfect? No. James and John wanted to sit on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord in glory. It's not, Jesus didn't have that responsibility to assign that. That's God. Because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, so he can't kick his father out of position to put one of his two disciples there. But the disciples weren't perfect. But they began to learn and to develop and to demonstrate a love for others. Their example of the progress that they make is a good example for you and I to follow. That we love one another. It's not always easy. But with God's help, you can do that. You can develop that. You can love one another. Then some of you may say, "Why am I going to help my brother? He's treated me wrong. He maybe stole from me. He stabbed me in the back. He badmouths me." But we still are admonished by God to love one another. Why should we help our brothers? Sometimes the burden is just too heavy for somebody to carry all by themselves. We need to sort of pick up the burden and help them carry it. They may be hurting. A lot of times, individuals inside of churches are hurting, but they never share their hurt. I'm good at that. I am a very private person. I've learned, I don't know whether it's hard way or what. I don't share a lot about my family. I just don't. We're not a perfect family. But I don't share a lot of about the hurts that we've experienced over the years. That's probably a real fallacy on my part, but that's just the way that I am. That's not justification for it. But a lot of times we don't share our burdens. Occasionally we will. Sometimes we can see another person's spiritual failure on the horizon. I mean, we've been there, done that. We know if someone keeps going down the road that they're going, they're going to experience some spiritual hurt. You are a wise believer if you will try to intervene and say, "Look, I've been there, done that, experienced that. Can I help you to avoid that hurt?" And that requires that you be open and honest with someone. That you can help them avoid what you see coming down the road. And that takes some real backbone sometimes, because you have to open yourself up. But when you do, God will greatly use you in the other person's life and help you with your honesty with yourself and in sharing that you're not infallible or that you're not perfect, but you're vulnerable and that you want to help someone else not have the same heartache and headache that you have. So we need to help our brothers. But one of the stumbling blocks of not helping our brothers is our pride. Pride is a big pill to swallow. And pride will choke you, damage you, hurt you, if you don't get it under control. You say, "Well, I don't have any pride." All of us do. All of us do. We have, that's the way we're made. back in chapter 5 again, verse number 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Sometimes we get a big head because of whatever we have or whatever we did that was good, and we sort of pat ourselves on the back and say, you did a good job. You're setting yourself up for a fall if you continually do that. Be careful about poking somebody. Trying to give them a hard time for whatever station in life that they're in. Some people get into their particular situations through no fault of their own, no sin, nothing that they have done. But God is using that to help them, to help others. It took me a long time to learn that lesson. I've experienced some things, and I said, God, I'm not guilty of any particular thing to be experiencing. At that time, I was thinking it was punishment. But what I've learned over the years by watching and observing is sometimes God has put me in situations not because I did anything wrong, but to help somebody down the road a year or two later on, or 10 years later on. It's amazing when I talk with people that God helps me recall illustrations or things that happened in my life years ago, that it's not always easy. Life is not fair. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to go well with you. You're not going to suffer any health problems, financial problems, or relationship problems, or employment problems. It happens. This day and time, you can lose your job, or you can walk into work on Friday and find out by noon on Friday you no longer have a job. That's just the way our society has evolved to. Or you can walk outside of church today and find a flat tire. And that's not because you were in church and God's punishing you, okay? It's just because you ran over a nail. The Lord takes care of you. I'll share this with you, that this week I was able to buy new tires for our car, or should I say, was able to put them on a charge card. I'll pay for them later. But years ago, this has been 40 some years ago, I was in school in Springfield, Missouri, and I had an uncle who died in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my aunt and my uncle were very special to me. So I left Springfield in my 69 Galaxy and drove to Charlotte, attended the funeral, and drove back home. This was late June, because I thought I'd buy some tires on July 4th because it'd be a special tire price. So I went to work that first night, and I wanted to show a friend of mine. I said, I want you to look at my tires. They got, I think, 41,000 miles on them at that time. When I showed him the front tire on the passenger side, I saw the second steel belt. Now, I had traveled through southern Missouri. I had followed roadway trucks. There's five of them. I quit following them at 90 miles an hour. They left me in the dust. But I was driving on that tire. And if that tire had blown, I would have went into a ditch, or should I say a canal, on the other side of the road. I'd still be there. They'd never find me. What I'm saying is that God takes care of us in spite of our stupidity sometimes. God has a way. So don't let pride hurt you. Be careful to give God the praise. And then take a good look at yourself. Verse number 4 puts it this way: but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Take time to reflect upon yourself and see what you could do better, or how you could extend a helping hand. Occasionally, when I go to Wawa, which I don't go there very much anymore, years ago I went there, and some guy in front of me from Elizabeth in the Matoka area wanted to buy me a cup of coffee. I was standing behind him in line. He says, "I got that." I never have forgot that. And I was thinking yesterday, I said, I haven't bought anybody any coffee or anything lately. So I said, "Lord, let me find somebody that can help out." So I went to Wawa, got a cup of coffee, and the lady in front of me had two cups of coffee, and she was paying. She had already given the money to the cashier. And I told the cashier, I said, "Give that money back to her. I got it." And I just bought two cups of coffee for that lady and myself. It wasn't a big deal, but it helped me to remind me to be nice to people, total strangers. I wouldn't know the lady if she walked in this place today. She may recognize me, she may not. She thanked me, she turned and went her way. I got my debit card back and I went my way. But it's an opportunity just to take a good look at yourself and see if you're generous. It helps you to help somebody else more than it helps them. I honestly believe that. It helps you to help somebody else. It's not, a couple dollars was nothing to spend for a cup of coffee. But it made me feel good that I prayed, God answered that prayer, and I was a vehicle to be used in answering that prayer. God has a way of using us if we want to be used. So take a good look at yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. One of the things that God reminds me of more so here in the last couple years is that God records everything that you do. Every good deed that you do, every evil deed that you do that you don't ask forgiveness for. One of the great things I find about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, He forgives and He forgets. And it's no longer written in His book. Amen. It's no longer thrown up in your face. I can almost see the books that's written about me with certain things that I've done that there's a line through it. Maybe there's an eraser marks there that they're no longer there. Take time to take a good look at yourself. And then we're responsible for ourselves. Verse number 5 says, "For each one of you shall bear his own load." There are certain things that nobody can help me with. God has that responsibility on me. Certain things that no one can help you with. But God can intervene. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The word that I've got underlined in my notes is learn. Learning how to be gentle and lowly in heart is a lifelong process. And God wants to use you and help you to help others because you love them sincerely. The next verse says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Anything that Christ gives you to do, He will help you. He will carry your burden. His burdens are light because he's doing all the work. You and I aren't. We're just the errand boy or the mouthpiece. God wants to use us. And then in verse 28, I've read 29 and 30, but I want to go back up to verse number 28. Jesus speaking says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God has a way of just taking care of His people. But it begins with love. Not hypocritical love, but sincere love. You're going to have a new pastor here sometime in the near future, hopefully. You need to learn that. You need to learn how to love that individual and not put him up here on this pedestal where he's supposed to be perfect, that he can't make a mistake. If he's a good pastor, he's going to step on your toes spiritually. Some of you probably need your toes stomped. And that's not a judgmental call. It's just a call for us to understand that God has more for us to do. And sometimes stepping on our toes is the way to get our attention. When your toes are stepped on, don't be offended, but ask God, "What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to change? How can I improve to be what you want me to be?" Because God will never lead you wrong. God will always lead you where He wants you to go, if you're willing to go there. If you're willing to go there. Be all that God wants you to be. Be moldable. Be pliable. When God speaks to your heart, don't brush Him aside and say, "I don't have time today, I'll do it tomorrow." Tomorrow you probably forget. Tomorrow you'll probably forget. So step up, do what you're supposed to do for the glory of Christ. If we love one another, this church will be better. You will be better. And this community will be better because you started with love. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Help us to learn how to love better, more, for the glory of Christ. As you speak to hearts, may we be responsible to respond in the way that you'd have us to respond. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.